This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Record with Chicago Line is sponsored by RF Bank and Trust and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to See Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could see here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-425-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So we have with us today, I'm going to be talking to you about a couple of things today. One of which is NIB, and the other of which is the new national investment. But we do have with us Mrs. Leslie Archer, policy fellow, Government and Public Policy Institute, still at it, trying to make sure you all get included in this National Cultural Values Survey. And so welcome, Leslie, and let us know, where are we now? Where are we?
We are nearing 500.
Wow. Wow, that's super.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So good afternoon, Bahamas. And thank you, Mr. Lang, for having me. Hello, everyone. As Mr. Lang mentioned, it's Bahamas Cultural Values Survey, sponsored by the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of the Bahamas. It's in honor of our country's 50th anniversary of independence. And so we are on this quest to gain 1,500 respondents, and Mr. Lang just asked about where we're at now, and so we're nearing 500. We're trying to hit that 500 button soon, and we need your support and participation.
That's a couple hundred since the last time you were here, because we were just around 200 the last time you were here, right?
Listen, my team has been working amazingly hard. They are extraordinary. I have a fantastic support group, and we are just getting stronger. We're still in gearing up our gears and operations, you know, with everything going on. I see this meme passing around about January is a trial month for 2023. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We're ready in February. So we're just trying to get it together to get this done in time for independence.
And the cultural values study survey is supposed to tell us what once we get it done.
So basically, we want to understand how Bahamian culture has changed over the last 50 years from independence. And, you know, when we talk about culture, you may generally hear the aspects of like food and Jhankanoo or festivals and cultural industries. But here we're getting into values, value systems, the mindsets, the mentalities, perceptions of Bahamians and Bahamian way of life and Bahamian mindsets and thoughts. That's what we want to seek to capture through this survey. Like, where do Bahamians in general stand on marriage? Is that something that is still respected in society today, in your opinion? What about respecting the elderly? We want persons of a variety of ages to take this survey, and we're going to look and see what people think compared to what 60-year-olds think about marriage in the Bahamas, and just assess what persons who were teenagers during the time of independence, what did they think about marriage, for example, and how does that align with what teenagers think about marriage today? Just to notice, you know, let's put our finger on exactly who is a Bahamian. You know what I mean, Mr. Mike?
Understood. Now, I have to tell you, did I tell you I did this survey with my mother?
You did? The last time we spoke, you said you were going to. I'm excited that you did it.
I did. We went ahead and did it. It took about...
20 minutes? Maybe half an hour.
I would say 10 minutes, to 10 to 15 minutes at most. Wow. I did. And of course, you know, it was an interesting... discussion for me listening to her. And guess what was happening at the time? My 14-year-old was actually laying in mother's bed. So he was listening. And when she answered and said yes to some things, he says, you think so? So he was having this differences in view about some things than she did or I did.
Right. You know, and that's exciting. And I'm excited on a personal level because of the intergenerational engagement that's occurring in your home because of this survey and the intergenerational engagement that we can have on a national level that can actually affect policy and policy change for years to come when we have the respondents, sufficient respondents to completing it. Like, that excites my insides.
I really found intriguing was the fact that he actually... Like he was just laying there, right? But he was actually engaging as I gave the questions to her.
Really? And at 14.
And sometimes he would say, No, Grammy, it's not about what you feel, it's about what you think the Bahamian people feel about it. So he was trying to make the distinction sometimes when it's about you, and then sometimes when it's about what you think we as a group think. You know?
Yeah, it's two parts to the survey, and that's something that has to take care of when you're doing the survey. The first part, well, it's three parts. The first part is really asking you about your perceptions of Bahamians. You know, we will talk about Bahamians. We'll say, well, you know, Bahamians don't like, oh, you know, my husband likes to say it. He say Bahamians are unforgiving people. Mm. You know, when he talk in general, he'll make these broad statements. So the part one is asking you really to make some broad statements about Bahamians, like, are Bahamians a selfish people? Are Bahamians honest people? And then part two is getting, you know, it was good that your son could recognize that distinction. It is asking you, as a Bahamian, are you selfish? Mm-hmm. Are you an honest person? Do you value marriage? Do you value the elderly population and respecting grandparents? And then the third part is just some short questions asking you, you know, what do you think we should get rid of in Bahamian society today?
And there's the element of how you think things have changed.
Yes, right? Yes.
Yeah, because
from your time growing
that's
up
right.
And now, you know, that's and right. I only have about 30-something years on this earth, and I can notice that I think some things have changed significantly. Like, for example, I think respect of grandparents and extended family oldest. I think that has, respecting older generations has changed a lot from even when I was growing up. Yeah. So I'm excited even where I'm at in the middle phase of my life to see what I'm saying stands with where older generations say and where the younger generation say, those in their 20s and 18, the survey is open to 18 and older, where they feel about these matters. You know, this affects our daily life and how we take care of ourselves, you know?
What I found also is no question that my mother and I differed significantly on some of the questions, but you know, I was giving her the questions. I didn't want to inject at all. I just would say, you understand this question to see if it makes
sense. if you're sure.
Do not agree with you on that. But I didn't say that. I just said, you sure this is what you believe? And she said, yeah.
You know, everyone, I want you guys to be a part of this conversation that Mr. Lang are having, because we know the questions involved and we want you to get involved. So I want you to right now go to tinyurl.com, T-I-N-Y-U as in umbrella, R as in rainbow, L as in love, tinyurl.com/Bahamas50, B-A-H-A-M-A-S. And the number 50, tinyurl.com/Bahamas50. You can find the survey there. And you can also email me, but you can WhatsApp me at 48355. And I can send you a link to the survey. Additionally, this week, the survey should be posted on the GPPI website, the university's weekly newspaper. It's out there. It's already available to the public. The flyer and how you can access the survey. So we want you to get involved. Community service organizations, I'm calling out to you. I'm reaching out privately and publicly as well. Let some of our team members come maybe to one of your meetings and your sessions and distribute the survey or talk about the 50th anniversary study and give us that opportunity, please, to come into your space to survey your participants, to give you an opportunity to maybe, if you work with old folks homes, to go and survey them on our behalf and be a part of this community research initiative.
And you know, we don't do a whole lot of things together as Bahamian families outside of eating and maybe one or two entertaining stuff, but I'm across generations. The children are playing their PlayStation. We are reading or watching television or hanging out with friends and everybody in between doing their own thing. But this is a 15-20 minute exercise that could be done as a family and really get a dynamic sense of what people believe and have a conversation without even deliberately trying to have a conversation.
yes, that's so right. And again, across, so many students I survey are intrigued by the study, as intrigued as, you know, my Grammy in taking it and me asking her the questions about it. So it's a fascinating work. We need your help. We need your support. We need you to get active and get involved in this research as we seek to even strengthen our research profile as a university, as a nation, to put us out there and to really understand who we are. So it's 431-8355. That's my cell number that I can WhatsApp you the survey, or you can go to tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/Bahamas50 to access it. And we would just love to have as many of you respond as possible.
And when we hit 1500, I'm going to have a party on the show and we're going to give out lollipops, not the purple one, not the red ones. We're giving out the green ones.
The favorite lollipops.
To get
y'all, please, y'all listening in Radio Land, hold Mr. Lang to his word. I'm gonna hold him.
That's done. You're gonna be right here because we can leave them all downstairs at Guardian and tell people come get their green lollipop.
Yeah, so come out, and it's fantastic to have Mr. Lang's supporters. Remind, he is the executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute, where I work, and where this survey is being generated from. So we are asking your support as a team, you listener, and you, your family. We need family island respondents to participate. Also, like I said, if you want me to come and speak or one of my team members to come and speak and maybe distribute the survey or talk about it or discuss it or whatever you want with research, education, call us, call Mr. Lang. We'll be there. We'll be present. Also, anyone from the diaspora, meaning anyone not living in the country, but who has spent at least 18 months in the Bahamas at some point across their lifespan, is eligible to participate in the survey. So if you've been in the Bahamas, at least presently living in the Bahamas, please take the time to complete this work and to support this research effort. We would really appreciate it.
And then the church groups can also, this might be a 10-15 minute icebreaker for your church meeting, right?
Oh, thank you. I have a women's group meeting in 2 weeks. I will be doing that. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, church groups, please. I can get print copies to you as well if you prefer print copies, but it's available online. However you want, just call me, 431-8355, Leslie Archer, or reach out to Mr. Lang and he'll get to me. And let's get this ball rolling. Let's do something for our country together. Let's do this for our country in time for July.
I'm looking forward to the results. We're gonna make this target. So so we'll see you again next week.
Yes, and you know, next week, Mr. Lang, I actually want to ask you over the radio just like two or three of the questions to see if they align with where I stand.
Happy to do that.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So tune in, guys, next week Wednesday. Are the different or maybe the same perspectives that Mr. Lang would have, as we are generationally different as well. Yeah, and thank you again for this opportunity.
We can see what the X and what your generation is now.
You know what? I hate saying millennial because I feel like everybody thinks that anyone who is a child, a teenager, an adult is a millennial, but that's not true. Like, millennials are from, I think, 1981 up to 1995, I think. Everyone else, like the younger generations, they are not millennials. People, please stop calling them millennials. All right? Don't get me mixed up. Don't get us mixed up. They Gen Zs. They some other beings. They're not me.
We'll see what the Gen X's think versus the millennials then.
Yes, please. Keep us separate.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Leslie Archer, Policy Fellow, Government and Public Policy Institute, trying to promote the National Cultural Values Survey. Please take the survey. Please take the survey. Don't miss your lollipop because it's going to happen. Thank you again. When we come back, I told you so. And when we come back, we're going to talk about it. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure to base check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com.
RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon where I am. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So sometime in June of last year, the issue of national insurance came up. Remember that? And we were talking about the fact that the Prime Minister kind of rebuffed the Minister responsible for national insurance, Mr. LaRota, when Mr. LaRota had indicated that there would be an NIB rate hike. And the Prime Minister said he was not doing that because the Bahamian people couldn't take it. And then the press secretary for the Prime Minister's office came out and said that the Prime Minister was going to take a more creative approach and look for all more creative ways to save the fund. Remember that? Y'all remember that discussion? And I spoke about it, and I said at that time, do not hurt your head. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried at all about the fact that the fund will be depleted. I said that the government will raise the rate, that there was no question about it, that there was no way that the government was going to allow the fund to collapse, and there was no way. And I told you I wasn't concerned about it. I said, you could be sure as night there will be a rate hike. Well, according to the Nassau Guardian sources, the minister responsible, Mr. LaRota, had said that some decision had been made. He didn't indicate what that decision was, but according to the Guardian, that decision, which hasn't yet been announced, is to have a 1.5% increase and to have that increase kick in July. It's the increase that the fund board was asking for, and that was being bandied about. And as indicated by me, the rate hike is going to apparently take place. Surprise, surprise, not for me. Not a single surprise. Whether it was done now or it was going to be done later on, where you would not have gotten as this hike, you'd have gotten a higher hike maybe later on. There was no question that the government was going to raise the rate. Now, see, this is where life gets interesting, right? Owen Arthur told me, never say something publicly from which you cannot retreat, all right? Never say something publicly from which you cannot retreat. Between June of last year, I ask you, June of last year and this year, have the Bahamian people whose NIB rate, hike rate will be increased, have their circumstances changed that drastically? Remember, the Prime Minister said we will do this when the Bahamian people, when their economic change. And remember, I asked the question, you know, what is the metric we're going to use for when that happens, when they're out of the hole, when they are better off? What's the metric we're going to use? Is it that the economy is growing at a certain rate? The unemployment rate is at a certain level? What is the metric we're going to use? Well, the economy of the Bahamas is growing slower today than it was growing last year, June. Okay? It's growing slower. The unemployment rate, we don't know what it is, actually. My suspicion is it's less than it was last year. But we don't know. We have no measurement for it as yet. So if there has, in fact, been a decision made, is it a decision made based on the metric that the Prime Minister said it would be made on, which is that the Bahamian people are out of their financial hole, economic circumstances, or so forth. The language he exactly used escapes me, but I just listened to it this morning, you know. I listened to the show, my show, this morning. And so, in addition to that, the press secretary said that the government would find more creative ways and what have you to save the fund. Well, more creative way than raising the rate. Well, the only thing that is going to be, well, the only thing we know of is the rate is going to be increased unless there's some other announcements. The minister did say there's some cleaning up of things to be done. And so maybe there's some other things. This text is this 1.5%? And is this increase applicable to both employer and employee? I don't know. We don't have any details. Now, it's not a 1.5% increase. That's not what it is. This is a 1.5 percentage point increase. Okay, so let's be clear about that. What that means then is the rate now, is what is it, 9.something%? It's so the employee pays 3.9% and the employer pays 5.9%. Okay, so that the total is 9.8%. I don't want to get it wrong, and then y'all say that, but you can't even count, right? So yeah, so 9.8%. So which means that if the rate, then the new rate would be 11.3%. 11.3%. So what would the employee then likely end up paying of that 11.3%? 5%, basically, the employee would end up paying of that amount. So it's a 1.5 percentage point increase, not a 1.5% increase. If it was a 1.5% increase, the increase would be 1 1 cent, right? A little one and a half cent, not percentage. I mean, 1.5%. It wouldn't be the percentage point increase, right? That's what it wouldn't be. That 1.5 percentage point is much larger than a 1.5% increase. All right, so that you're clear on that. Well, we'll see. And I guarantee you, you mightn't like it now, or some people might cuss now, but it's gonna be better for you, better for me. So I am not criticizing the government for raising the rate, or if it has in fact done so. I think it is necessary. I think it ought to be done. It should have been done earlier. And it's gonna be better for all and sundry, because your savings is gonna increase on the basis thereof. You'll put some more money away. You'll have a fund available for you for retirement and for other benefits. And those fund will be more solvent. And this is only the first of a number of rates they're probably going to have to engage in order to ensure the full benefit of the fund. Okay? Probably just one of a number of things they will have to do. And so again, I'm not criticizing the government. Some might say it's a tough decision. Yeah, okay, make it then. Make that tough decision, because it needs to be made. Okay, so that 1.5 percentage point increase is like a 15% increase in the rate. Right, it's a 15% increase in the rate, basically. And it needs to be done. And I, for one, happy somebody has now decided, all right, let's bite this bullet and move on. You could kick that can down the road as long as you want. What happens, though, is you can meet that can down the road. It's not as if you're kicking it down another road. You're going to meet that can down the same road. And when you get there, you may be worse off, and therefore have to do more work in order to get it done. So now, biting that bullet, it helps. So if you are paying now on your if you're making $300 and you have to pay 3.9% of that, your contribution is $11.07. If you are now having to pay that new increase, and on your $300, you're paying $13.05. So a little bit, but like $2 more a week. 4 weeks in the month, it's $8. Right? I don't think you're too bad off having to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
We're good for you.
back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we have a caller on the line still? No? He left? No caller? Okay. Sorry about that. Perhaps you can call back. So the government has introduced a new investment, National Investments Fund Bill. And it replaces the former Sovereign Wealth Fund Act. So the Sovereign Wealth Funds Act has been repealed. There are some people who are not happy about this, wondering.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Go ahead.
Shivago Lang, how you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. And yourself?
Great. You're very low. I don't know why I can't hear you much. Can you hear me?
Well, I don't know if it's me or you, my friend, but go ahead.
Hey, your producer very well. Now, maybe if you can hear me, if the rest can't hear me, maybe you can say a little.
Yeah, I can hear you extremely well.
Great, Mr. Lang. Please stop lying to the Bahamian people, but the more they contribute, the more we'll have later on in life. Please. The more money people make, the more they spend. Do not for a minute and a half assume anything else, because being human, that's our nature.
Hold on. Do not call my show and tell me to stop lying to people because you're asking me to cut you off.
Because
that's
sorry?
Utter nonsense. Utter nonsense.
I thought your disclaimer covers this.
This one, producer, cut him off right now. Okay? First of all, if you're going to call the show and make a statement, be intelligent about it. He says, don't tell me that if you pay more now, you're going to have more later. Right? If you put the monies away, right, you're going to have the money for later, right, to help you get your pension, your benefits, or what have you, right? So I don't know what the question is about more or not. If you heard me say you're going to get more, as in more pension, more benefit, etc., no, that's not what I mean. I mean, you will have a fund available to pay you your benefits and your pension benefits and other benefits. Okay? So even if you come on the show and you say, Shivago, you sure you're correct about that in terms of the way you may have said it? That's fine. But you have to be out your doggone mind to call this show to tell me to don't lie. Are you serious? An intelligent human being will call the show to make that kind of statement? Come on, man. Come on. All right? Let's be real. Let's be sensible. Okay. So the government has the government is now introducing a National Investment Funds Bill. And in doing so, it has repealed the former Sovereign Wealth Funds Bill, right? And there are some folks who have a problem with this. So I'm going to read for you the objects and reasons for this new National Investment Funds Bill. So this is what the bill says it is about. The bill says, this bill seeks to repeal, replace the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act 2016 and to provide for the establishment and management of a national investment fund regime. It says, part one sets out the preliminary matters, including the short title, commencement, and interpretation provisions of the bill. Part one also includes the objectives of the bill, namely to establish one or more national investment funds and set forth the principles relating to management and governance of such funds, and to provide for the management of the natural resource wealth of the Bahamas for present and future benefit of its people in an effective and efficient manner. It says part two sets out the establishment and funding of such funds. It sets out the purposes of such funds, inter alia, save and invest revenue and assets derived from certain activities, enhance suitable long-term capital growth of the Bahamas to service, repay, or refinance existing national debt, to strengthen the credit rating of the Bahamas, and to support and promote the national development objectives. Clause two notes the resources of a fund are to be derived from funds allocated by the minister or funds deposited by third-party sources with board approval. Clauses 8 to 9 provide for a national investment account to be opened and maintained by a duly recognized banking institution acting as custodian, subject to the provisions of a custodian agreement as between the institution and the board. Clause 10 of the bill empowers the minister to prescribe regulations, deposits to allocation and withdrawal of monies from a fund. Part 3 of the bill provides for the overall management of a fund by an appointed board of governors that is consistent with principles of good governance, transparency, accountability, and aligned with international best practices. Clause 12 of the bill sets out for the specific appointment provisions of the board by the Governor General on the advice of the Prime Minister, and establishes the constitution and procedures of the board as they are noted in the first schedule. Clause 13 of the bill establishes the functions of the board to determine inter alia the board's internal governance structure, investment strategy, inform and induce and educate citizens of the Bahamas on the management activities of the board and any other matter for carrying out the board's purpose, the carrying out the purposes of the fund. Clause 14 of the bill empowers the board to monitor and seek to ensure the proper governance of the act and compliance of persons obligated under this act, investigate complaints regarding implementation of the under the provisions of the act, engage administrative support as necessary, and appoint necessary managers and subcommittees. Part 4 provides for the investment management activities of a fund. Clause 15 sets out the investment objective, namely to attain the highest possible return on investments at an acceptable level of risk. Clause 16 and 17 sets out the investment mandate and policy mandate, and empowers the minister to give directives to the board in relation to investment mandate and policy mandate, respectively. Clause 18 to 19 provides for the appointment by the board and function of an investment committee empowered to make decisions on the acquisition and disposal of assets of a fund, advise the board on the investment strategy, and oversee the implementation of the investment strategy. And clause 20 contemplates the establishment of special committees in respect of a fund or a subfund, and prescribes the procedures of the subcommittee as is noted in the second schedule. Clause 21 provides an indemnity for investment committee or special committee members against actions or proceedings commenced personally where any action performed by such members are bona fide in pursuance of the execution of the act. Clause 22 empowers the board to engage an external asset manager duly licensed by the Securities Commission of the Bahamas to provide advisory services as prescribed by the minister. Part 5 sets out the miscellaneous provisions of the act and includes clauses 3 inclusive. These provisions include the publication to the designated website of any matters required to be published by a gazette, a fund's exemption from taxation in the Bahamas, the confidentiality of the board and persons acting on behalf of the board, disclosure of pecuniary interest by a board member in relation to any matter being considered by the board, reporting to the minister an annual audit of a fund, and preparation and publishing of a fund's statutory reports. And clause 31, the bill empowers the minister to make regulations to carry out the objectives and purpose of the act, Clause 32 empowers the minister to establish code of conduct for good governance by the members. And Clause 33 repeals the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act of 2016. Who's going to be the minister responsible? It's the Minister of Finance. The minister responsible for finance will be the minister responsible for this act. Yeah. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to look at whether or not this is substantially different from the act being repealed, and what in fact would be the motivation for passing this new bill in place of the old bill, the old act. This is the new act, unless I'm mistaken, was passed, the old one was passed by under Prime Minister Christie's regime. So it's a PLP regime. The new act is being passed under a Davis administration, a PLP regime. So you can't argue that maybe it's just two political parties opposite each other looking to do two different things. This is the same party under different leadership seeking to do something different. The question is, how much difference is that difference in terms of this new thing versus the old thing? What is, in fact, the difference? And so that's what we are going to try to get a sense of. I can't promise you that I am going to have a handle on all of it today, because I got hold of it today, and it will take some time to go through it thoroughly, but I get a general sense. I have a general sense of what each provides for. And so the question is, what's the difference? Can I find it? Do I know? We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take a break for news, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I understand that some people may have tried the URL for the survey and had some difficulty. It could be a device issue, or it could be a Google issue or something. Thank you so much for trying. But what I understand is some people have tried it on their laptop and not been able to get the access. Some have tried it on their phones and been able to get it. I don't know which is the case. The QR code is working, though. So keep trying, please. Keep trying. Don't give up. Don't give up. All right. So the government is passing a new National Investment Funds Act, and it will replace the Sovereign Wealth Funds Act. So there have been some people who are concerned about this name change. And I've seen the Natural Resources, I think, association or grouping. They've expressed some concerns about the name change and some other things. Honestly, there are sovereign wealth funds set up in countries around the world. Not every country has a sovereign wealth fund. So if you want to change the name, that's on you. I really don't think that it matters that much. What matters is what are you intending to do? Because it's about what the law prescribes for it to do now. And whether the law and the purposes that are enshrined in the law are different from what was in the sovereign wealth fund. Now, I can tell you, my preliminary review of this act versus the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act says that the players who drafted the National Investments Funds Act are about a much more specific and detailed set of things to be done than the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act. The language of the Sovereign Wealth Funds Act is more platitude to me than it is actual specifics. Because in fact, so let me give you an example. The purpose of the Sovereign Wealth Fund, according to the Act, is to save and invest surplus funds derived from oil, gas, minerals, other natural resources to provide a heritage for future generations of the citizens. To support and increase savings for future generations. C, to enhance sustainable long-term capital growth for the Bahamas. And D, to support and promote any other strategic development objectives of the Bahamas. The fund shall not be used for government capital expenditure, and the funds shall not be used to satisfy any debt of the government of the Bahamas. Okay, so you have in A to D broad platitudes. So you save and invest surplus funds derived from oil, gas, minerals, and other natural resources to provide a heritage for future generations. Surplus funds. Surplus funds from what? A surplus of funds mean that you're running an operation and you get revenue, but there's expenditure associated from it and the surplus you give. Or does that mean that whatever royalties you get, you put in the sovereign wealth fund? I don't know. The platitudes are broad. But this is saying that you can't use the sovereign wealth fund for capital expenditure. So the sovereign wealth fund gathers, amasses resources. You think that the country could benefit from a significant infrastructural project and the Sovereign Wealth Fund cannot fund that? You want the government of the Bahamas to ignore surplus funds it has in a Sovereign Wealth Fund to go and fund through borrowings, that kind of thing, for the benefit of the Bahamian people? But that was the initial intent. And it can't pay down the debt, but you do not wish your sovereign wealth fund to have accumulated monies to pay down your debt. You don't want a sovereign wealth fund to be able to do that. If your debt is reduced, we're not all better off if the debt is reduced, but you might decide that's not the case. But anyways, the platitudes are broader there. But listen to the purposes for the National Investments Funds Act. To authorize the establishment of a national investment fund for a purpose specified in Section 4.2 and to set forth the principles of management and activities of the fund, right? So here is what it's going to do. For the purposes of domestic, cultural, and social advancements in blue, green, and orange economies of the Bahamas. So now where your sovereign wealth fund is more focused on your natural resources like minerals and oil and gas and what have you. This is encompassing any proceeds you can get from your green, blue, or orange economies to provide a legacy for future generations of citizens in the Bahamas. That's platitude to me. to provide for the management of the natural resources. Well, we already heard that. Now, listen, it says, by ensuring that investments and private shareholdings of the government are managed professionally for the long-term benefit of citizens. See, the Sovereign Wealth Fund did not seem to anticipate this. What this is saying is, you got an investment in BTC, you have an investment in cable, you have an investment in BPL, you have an investment in some other thing. It could even be a private business in which the government has an investment. Those shares can go into the National Investments Funds Act to be managed by this professional group of people, of the Bahamian people. Two, ensuring that revenues from the natural resources and elements of the Bahamas contribute to the economic certainty of the country. See, so as opposed to surplus funds, you're now dealing with revenue. So if we're not talking about netting off anything. If there is a revenue derived from any natural resources that goes into the National Investment Fund, that's different than the Sovereign Wealth Fund, it seems. And three, fairly transferring natural resources, resource wealth across generations to ensure that future generations benefit from natural resource wealth. I think that this is another broad platitude fraught with all kinds of impractical challenges, but who knows? Because one way to be fair in transferring wealth across generations is don't give nobody anything. Because if nobody gets anything, that's fair. When it comes time to giving out something, it'll be interesting to see how that gets played out. Then for using natural resource wealth to finance national development priorities. So whereas the Sovereign Wealth Fund did not permit the government to pay down the debt or use funds for capital investments, this is saying no, if it's a national development priority, including any initiative aimed at developing the blue, orange, or green economy and infrastructure of the country, the National Investment Fund can be used for that purpose. So this is an entirely different ball game than the Sovereign Wealth Fund. It is, to my mind, just on this preliminary look at it, it is a more thoughtful, a more specific, more concrete, and a more targeted thing. Now, I'm not talking about how it's managed yet. I'm not talking about how it's going to be operated and that kind of stuff yet. I'm not talking about that. I haven't looked at all of those in details. I'm just talking about looking at the broad objectives, and from the objectives and purposes alone, the two pieces of legislation are significantly and profoundly different. They anticipate doing different things, not different as in things opposed to each other. They're doing the new National Investments Funds Act allows for more to be done than the Sovereign Wealth Funds Act allowed to be done. Now, the question is, do you want the government to be able to use resources from the Sovereign Wealth Fund to do more things like pay down the debt, like invest in infrastructure, like pursue initiatives in the green, orange, and blue economies? That's a question that you have to think through yourself. But the two are different. There is sometimes I find when administrations change laws, that they don't make a whole lot of difference. They're just kind of doing it for the sake of saying, I did something different. But in this instance, I think that this is certainly a much more substantive, specific, and potentially impactful legislation. Of course, passing a piece of law does not create the benefit you want. It's the execution that really makes the difference. So the government for raising the rate, this has been raised in previous actuary reports and no action was taken by previous administrations. There was a rate increase one time, to be sure, for Okay, so don't there was a rate increase before. It is not a single action fix. Another important fix is to move away from the defined benefit pension plan for its employees to a defined contribution plan. Look at the pension liability on its financial statements. This is across most government institutions and does not exist in the private sector. You're absolutely right. And clearly somebody who understands what they are talking about. This text says, Mr. Lang, I think the point the caller was trying to make was that the more money the government has at its disposal, the more they will spend. So nothing will actually be saved. That's why he mentioned the money you make and more you spend. Yeah, but he's talking about, first of all, I am not sure he was trying to say what you're saying at all. The point being, the way he said it was kind of, I don't know where that was going, but it was a problem. And secondly, it can't say the way the government uses the money, because the government, it's not NIB. NIB is a fund that uses the money. It's not the government. The government doesn't use NIB funds other than to borrow those funds and get pay interest on that for NIB. And NIB has to invest its monies. It has to. It doesn't have a choice, because it needs to be able to grow the money it takes in to be able to make the benefits it has to pay out in the future. And the way they do that is to invest the funds so they can get returns on that fund, and that fund people pay. And government is the most safe investment you can make in a country. It's the safest. That if the government is unable to make its payments, dog eat the rest of our lunch, because the government can tax. It can always tax to get money, right? So I can't see how somebody could be comparing the government's use of money, or even my private use of money, to National Insurance Board getting money. It's a fund that is governed by law in terms of what it can do. Okay, the National Insurance Fund isn't running out of money because the government used up the money at all. That is not an argument that can be made, and that is not an argument that has been made by the people who produced the report on the need for a rate increase. This text says, where can I find the bill? Want to download it? Well, it's right online. If you just Google search National Investment Funds bill, you can get it. But to save you some time, I just forwarded it to you. So now you have it. Okay. It is abundantly clear to me that the people who operate some things related to government have not been able to make a sufficiently clear enough case, or have provided a sufficient education to some segments of the population for them to understand how things operate. Because the automatic conclusion when it's the government related something is the government is controlling all of the spending, right? People make that assumption even with respect to the central bank. And unfortunately, that is just not the case. It's just not true. I can tell you, if the government could control NIB money, NIB wouldn't be in a situation where it needs a rate increase to save the fund. NIB would be in a deficit situation where the fund is underwater, right? But it's not, because it's governed by a different set of principles than the government's the government's financial arrangement. See, the government could continuously run a deficit. NIB can't do that. NIB can't do that. So this new National Investments Fund is coming, and it is going to have its own account open up with some bank. And so here is what if I were looking at this, I would have to ask them. So the National Investments Fund is going to be a separate creature in law, a separate entity in law, like the central bank maybe, such that if the government collects a royalty from the sale of an asset like land or oil or aragonite, if the government gets a dividend from Cable Bahamas or BTC, ordinarily, all government revenue should be deposited in the consolidated fund. Is the government's anticipation that those revenues now can be put in a sovereign, in a national investment funds account, contrary to the Constitution of the Bahamas? Again, this is just a question I'm asking. The lawyers, I'm sure, could have looked at this and see, but that's what I'm asking, right? How does that work? If the government owns the share, so is the government going to transfer its shares in BTC, Cable Bahamas, and the like from itself, to the National Investments Fund entity, which would have to then be a special purpose vehicle, so a statutory creature, so that now it now owns that asset, so that when revenues are garnered from that asset, if it goes to that vehicle, it is not in contradiction of the Constitution because it's not owned by the government. The question then turns on, well, who owns the fund? Who owns the fund? Okay, the fund owns the shares. The fund owns the maybe some building. The fund owns the... And who owns the fund? And if the fund is owned by the government, then the idea then is whatever net proceeds come from the fund, then if the government gets some of that, is the government going to deposit that into the consolidated fund? It would have to. So there are questions here. There are questions that I'm not saying haven't been answered or can't be answered. I'm just saying there are questions here. Because if the natural resources of the country can be managed by this fund, the question is how? Managed in what way? What does that mean? Does the government then just give in law a mandate to the fund to do this with this piece of seabed, that piece of forestry, that marine resource? And so if somebody wants to come in and do something in any of those spaces, it gets to go to the government or it gets to go to the National Investments Funds Board? Like, what happens in that regard? Who manages the fund? All right? Who manages the fund? These things will be, I imagine, questions that may come up in the course of the debate. This says the overall management of the fund. The board shall be responsible for the overall management of the fund. It shall be responsible for preparing the investment strategy, taking into consideration the investment mandate, policy mandate, given pursuant to section 16 and 17. And then it will, of course, give the functions of who appoints the board? The Governor General, on advice of the Prime Minister, shall appoint a board of governors for a fund. So it's going to be several funds. The first schedule shall have effect as to the constitution and procedures of the board. So what does the first schedule say about the board? Now, I wonder why one would not consider that if this is a national investment fund, that why the Prime Minister, why the government would not appoint the board in the Governor General in consultation. Well, let me see. How does the board get constituted? Let's see here. So the board, the Governor General on advice of the Prime Minister. Why would that not be advice of the Prime Minister after consultation with the leader of the opposition? Since it's a national investment fund, might that not help to make it more national and less partisan? Somebody might ask. I'm just asking. I'm not saying, you know, this says a board shall consist of 5 members to be selected from among persons of proven competence in matters of finance, investment, economies, business management, or law, namely a representative of the central bank, a counsel and attorney at law who has regulatory experience in investment funds, the private sector with extensive experience in asset and fund management or fund accounting. The minister shall appoint a member to be the chairman of the board. Members of the board should be appointed for a term of 3 years and shall not be eligible for a full reappointment until 3 years after the expiration of their term. A person is not eligible for appointment or as a board member if the person is a public officer or an officer on contract in the public service, an employee of a statutory body of the government of the Bahamas, or an employee of a government business enterprise or agency. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers. Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422 4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have some texts here. Let me read for you. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. The rate may not have been increased since Ingram administration, but the ceiling has increased multiple times. Yes. And the effect of the ceiling increase is to give some additional funds to the board because you increased the base, but that's not enough to save the fund, at least, you know. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I love your show, very educational. But Mr. Lang, I only every month as was planned. They repealed it. Government collecting enough tax money to pay all government bills. Put my $3,000 on my account every month as planned. Thank you. Well, I don't know where you got the idea that you would get a monthly payment from the Sovereign Wealth Fund, but there's nothing in the Sovereign Wealth Act that promises that at all. Okay, so if someone told you that, I'm afraid they may have been misguiding you, okay, because there's nothing about that at all in the act. It says, I submitted my documents for my retirement benefits in September 2022 to NIB. Can anyone help me to receive the benefits? I don't understand what the delay would be. Call them again. Call them. Check them. Check somebody. And if not, check somebody. Say Lincoln's idea of the $2,500. Okay, well, if that's his idea, but that's not in the fund. So again, as I said to someone, to those folks, that's not in the law. So and that's the unfortunate thing here. You know, is that clearly if you are someone in need of money, so most of us are, you have a promise like that or some guidance like that. I mean, it's hurtful to think that that might not happen, right? But it was never true to begin with. I don't believe that Lincoln Bean ever said that that is what was going to happen on the basis of the Sovereign Wealth Funds Act. I believe that that is something he may have indicated is possible and indicated that he might do if he were elected. Again, I expressed my doubts about that many times, but so I don't think he's saying that the promise that at all. So if that's the conclusion somebody came to, I don't think they should blame Lincoln for that, because I don't think Lincoln said that quite like that. Maybe in terms of an expression of hope as to what could be done, that's a different story, right? Text says, great show as usual. The texter said the government give us a monthly payment, that the person can't be serious. The government does not give. The government only tax and take away. Well, that's not true. That's not true that the government doesn't give. That's not true at all. So let's set the record straight. How many thousands of students are on scholarships? It's scholarships. They're not on loans. They're on scholarships. Some are on loans, but some are on scholarships, literal scholarships. They get their tuition paid, their books and what have you paid. That they don't have to pay that money back. So the government gives that. The government gives out grants, literal business grants. I'm talking about $5,000, $10,000 grants to people. They don't have to pay that back. So that happens, right? That is under the self-starter program or under the small business and medium-sized development center, the government gives grants out, right? The government gives monies out to people in need for food, for rental assistance, for burial assistance and the like. So that's not true. It's not fair to say that the government does not give out anything, right? I mean, altogether, government can't be giving a bunch of freebies out at all, because that would be unaffordable. But the government does give. And, you know, at the end of the day, the reason was not like it's your money that the government is giving, you know. And if you want the government to give more and more and more and more, just say to the government, for this giving more and more and more, I'm prepared to be taxed more and more and more and more. So you're right to connect taxes in a way, but you know, the government does give out things that people do not have to pay for or pay back, for sure. So I'm going to continue to go through the National Investments Funds Act and see how much of a difference, even though I can already see, broadly speaking, the extent of the difference on the basis of the objectives outlined in the two pieces of legislation. I can't get excited about this yet. I really can't. I can't, because ultimately the devil is in the details, right? The devil is in the details. And I can tell you, this National Investments Funds Act gives broad powers to that operating fund. Broad powers, okay? And therefore, I can see why it anticipates that it has some very credible people operating the fund. You know, you have the central bank involved, you have people with extensive experience in the management of investment funds involved. That's important. People with knowledge of finance and economics and the like. All of that is important because this fund can be operating massive asset values, massive values, right? We may be individually poor, but if you look at the asset value, the value of the collective assets of the Bahamian people held commonly, they can be substantial. So you could imagine and envision, take some of these buildings that are derelict and are hanging around and are owned by the government. It is conceivable now that rather than waiting for the government to do something, that this investment fund could come to acquire that building, do the necessary to retrofit that building, and lease that building out or sell that building. And now you now have revenue streams or cash flow to the government, not beforehand had. All of the bureaucracy involved in the government doing it, because this fund could go ahead and get things done. And you could have multiple renovations of derelict buildings throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas owned by the government. You could have lands the government owns sitting there unproductively, where these investment fund experts might find an opportunity for the development of that land and therefore, again, generate new revenue streams, cash flows for the fund and wealth for the fund that might one day lend to the education of the citizens, to the health of the citizens, et cetera, because now you're not encumbered by all of the bureaucracy of the government. You might have a fund that could look at East Street, East Bay Street, and think, you know what, all this eyesore of buildings you have down there, we could make a bid and acquire those buildings and do the necessary to renovate them, maybe even to take the land and build residences and what have you in that area, attracting massive resources from wealthy people around the world who might invest in something like that, and again, generate some resources for the fund that could be used for the purposes of the country. Maybe the fund comes to the place after 10, 15 years where it's built up $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 million in resources and can make the determination, okay, we could use $300 million and slash the national debt. I don't know. But all of that is conceivable in the broad powers that it seems have in this National Investment Funds Act. I would have to say that the government on this one has probably been given guidance and advice from people who are more technically in the know in respect of investment funds than the sovereign wealth anticipated. The sovereign wealth document seemed more a platitudinal, political, nationalistic pandering document than what now seems to be prescribed in the National Investments Fund act. I'm sure over time we'll come to see whatever flaws might be picked up in it, but, you know, that's my broad set of comments. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Section 110 of the Sovereign Wealth Fund is a regulated person shall be report financial information to the commission as required, right? We don't hear, and people saying they don't know where the Sovereign Wealth Fund is. We need to know who the person is, and they need to step up to the plate and let us know where the money is.
There is no Sovereign Wealth Fund.
I talk about it.
No, I'm saying there is none, though. There is no Sovereign Wealth Fund. There's an act.
Right. I'm reading the act now.
Yeah, but the act existing doesn't and did not create the fund. It just made provisions for the fund to be made. There is not now a fund, though.
Okay, so it only made provisions for the fund to be made, but there
That's
is
right.
no fund.
There is no fund, no.
But they're talking about a fund but going missing.
No, nobody ever spoke about a fund that went missing because this has nothing to do with
the Prime Minister. Did he say he did some of the Sovereign Wealth Fund or something like that?
No, not to my knowledge. Not that I'm aware of. Now, mind you, let me just say to him, this makes provision for the establishment of a fund, okay? So it does make provision for the establishment of a fund. So so somebody should tell me, because maybe I missed something and I don't wanna speak out of turn. Maybe I missed something. Who is the who's the board of the Sovereign Wealth Fund? If anybody's heard, who's the board? Who's the chairman? And who comprises the board of the Sovereign Wealth Fund? Do we have another call on the line? No?
I'd be a part of the show.
Hey, go right ahead. How you doing?
Yes, everything's great, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, I think what happened, right, a lot of people under the opinion that there is a Sovereign Wealth Fund, and this fund had money in it, and each Bahamian should have gotten a certain amount of money from this fund. They don't understand that it was just an act. They established the fund, but people thinking there is a fund, and they're thinking that the Prime Minister is the one who in charge of the fund, and now he changed the fund, or he dissolved the fund, he kept the money, and now he started this investment thing. People are of the opinion.
The thing about it is, technically speaking, the law did provide that a fund is established. You know, the law did provide that. So when I say there is no fund, in law, there is a fund, in law. Section three, part 1-3 is hereby established a fund to be called the Sovereign Wealth Fund. And the fund is vested in the government and trust for the citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And the first fund shall be in the currency of the United States of America. Now, the question is, was there ever any monies placed in the fund? I don't know. Is there a committee, as was prescribed by law, to manage this fund? There's supposed to be a board consisting of the Central Bank, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry responsible for petroleum matters, the Bahamas Investment Authority, and the Ministry responsible for mineral resources. So all the members of the board are government people.
Another thing, Mr. Lang, people think once this fund starts to get funds, they think that they're going to get a check from this fund. And I think that's far from the truth. I think that fund is to establish certain things. And how much I did, giving each individual every year or every month a check. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Let me know that you're not alone. All I
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. It encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle. One smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant, does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we have been speaking about the proposed new National Investments Fund that will repeal the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act and introduce a different structure altogether, even in terms of the fund. In the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act, the anticipation was that only government representatives would be on the board. The new Investment Funds Act anticipates more professional management of the fund. It's a much different scenario. This text says, you didn't miss anything except for the ignorance spewed out a few weeks ago on Steve McKinney's show. I thought there was a requirement for people only to dispense financial information and profess an expertise, provided that they have gone through acceptable education and matriculation, etc. Example, doctors, lawyers, and accountants. Let's suppose the government was going to give $1,000 a month to eligible people in the Bahamas. Let's put it like that. Now, the population of the Bahamas is over 400,000. So let's half the amount of people it's going to give that money to, so we could say, okay, we might miss some people, so we could get those yellow checks them and that, okay? So let's say it was given it only 200,000 people. So that means that the government would have to find every month from your sovereign wealth fund, every month, 200 million dollars. Okay, that's to give each of the 200,000 eligible citizens $1,000 a month. That's 1,000 times 200,000. That's 200 million. So that's what the government would have to find every month for all of y'all waiting for your check. And then have to do that 12 times in a month. That's $2.4 billion every year. The government have to generate just to give each of you $1,000 a month. But some of y'all don't want $1,000. You want $3,000. That means the government got to find three times that amount. Seriously? Are y'all serious? Y'all didn't. My good friend who I know could calculate, who just sent me the text about what was said on a show. Please, if I miscalculate, right? You want $1,000 a month. So that means you got to get, one citizen has to get $12,000 every year. So to give 12,000 citizens, to give $12,000 every year to every citizen, isn't $200,000 $2.4 billion? Boy, that's some money. If you have a call on the line, go ahead. Caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Sorry for calling so late. But Mr.
Hey,
Lang,
no problem.
You know, we make the statement that the government is continuous, right?
Mm.
So which in essence means that when one government does something and if they don't win the next election, then whoever comes in would continue. But as we have seen in the last, 20-odd years...
Now, hold on. I want to fix that. That's not true. It doesn't mean that the new administration has to continue it. That's not what continuous government means. What continuous government means is if the government makes a contractual commitment under one administration, that contractual commitment continues under a new administration.
Yeah,
now, if the government was seeking to engage a contract under one administration and the administration changes, the new administration has no obligation to continue that negotiation.
Oh, I see.
It's very important to remember that. Very important.
Okay. All right. Because, I mean, we have seen where multitudes of contractual agreements have been, stuff canceled and reviewed
Not contractual agreements. The only way for the government to break a contract is it has to either pay out outright the person who had the contract, or they would have to negotiate to open up the contract and change it. But you cannot, because a new administration comes in, you cannot break a contract.
Yeah, but however the government does it, they can't break the contract, and we have to pay, like how we're paying the $17+ million now for all of these contractual agreements that have been broken, right? But
that's an example of continuousness of government, which is that you have to pay anyway.
Right. So, in essence, we end up paying one way or the other, right? And what has been happening, Mr. Lang, is that, and until we get a national development plan, because what's going to happen if the PLP doesn't win the next election and the FNM comes in, they may have a different view of how to run the Sovereign Wealth Fund. And so they go and they appeal this and they bring a new bill and they bring a new bill. And it's just one thing. Like, we don't know we really want.
That's not true. I don't have a problem with that. If a new CEO comes into Ford and says the way that the old CEO was running Ford and pursuing this particular project, I'm not going to do that. I don't think it makes sense. That's important for leadership to be able to.
Yeah, but Mr. Lang, we keep going around the merry-go-round because another CEO comes, we need to establish, like Mr. Stubbs, Felix Stubbs said, until it comes from the ground up. Until the citizens say this is the plan that we want, because every government comes with their own agenda. It's my plan. It's my manifesto.
I think that's a mistake you're making, because national development plan doesn't mean that I have to abide by it in terms of the methodology. And a new administration could abandon the National Development Plan and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but and so we will be right back to square one for these five-year terms of trying to put bandages on things that requires major surgery, and we are back to square one. One step forward and two steps backward.
Let me just illuminate something to you, my friend. Many countries in the world have national development plans, and they are all still subject to the electoral processes of their country.
I agree, but Mr. Lang, if I have something in front of me, and we have all agreed to, this is the way that we. You know, our models say forward.
But we don't all agree ever. How do we always, even on a national development plan, how you can say we all agree?
You know, but I'm not saying that you will never get a total consensus on anything in life, right?
Right.
But I'm saying
right.
It must be where we, as the people, unless civil society comes in and say, you know, let's all discuss this. Because it seems like these 38 people or 40 people seem to, like, they have all the answers to all the questions for everything. And civil society is not involved in the determination. That's why we are not necessarily progressing as much as we can, because we tend to elect these people who seem that when they get in there, that they seem to know everything about everything.
But I hear that, right? And we are plumb out of time, and I hear you, right? But let me ask you a question. You ever been in a room with people from civil society and hear everybody say the same thing?
I don't believe that the majority is always right, because the majority of people going to hell. Right? That if you can get the majority of people to agree on something, then we can, as a country, agree this is how we want our country to run. Okay?
We're going to continue this discussion tomorrow. Call me back tomorrow. We're going to continue tomorrow. I think you hit on a good point. All right, so we're going to continue tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll be back. God spares life. Y'all have a great, great evening.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.